Whether you choose to believe it or not, STEM has condemned the core concept of racism ever since the very beginning of existence. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us the beauty and the purpose of the diversity of mankind. Rather than all of us being from the same race, we all come from various backgrounds, races, and nations. And there are so many beautiful stories from the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that demonstrate Islam's strong objection against racism. But in today's world, racism is a word that is used so often by people that it is very difficult to understand its meaning, as various people define the word differently. If we want to play our role in collectively combating racism as Muslims, we have to understand what racism actually is, and then we have to clarify any misconceptions, and we also have to understand how it affects society and what we can do to eventually put an end to it and annihilate it completely, once and for all. You're listening to The Voice of a Muslima, the podcast, episode 2, season 1 of Islam, A Way of Life. In this episode, I'll explain what racism is and clarify some general misconceptions, and then we'll talk about what it really means to be anti-racist. After this, I'll dive deeper into how important the message of anti-racism is in Islam. The script for this episode was written by me, and if you would like to see the sources that I used, you can feel free to check the comments if you're watching the Instagram TV video, and if you're watching this on a podcast app, you can check the episode description.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. This is the Voice of a Muslima, the platform that wishes to connect with the youth of our ummah by learning more about Islam and how it is not just a religion, but a way of life. In this podcast, I'll relate societal issues and other aspects of our life with the teachings of Islam, in hopes of inspiring the hearts of others to love their religious identity and to convey the message. My sole purpose is to connect with the youth of our ummah to foster bonds of friendship and kindness amongst ourselves. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm absolutely thrilled to even think about traveling on this journey with you all. I hope you stay tuned for more episodes.
So, what is racism? According to Merriam-Webster, racism is a belief that race is a determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. And people who believe that they are better than someone else because of their race, that's an example of racism. And later on in this episode, we're going to discuss how there are multiple levels in which racism operates on, and so that will be, we will discuss that, because it's not just, people harming each other, hating each other based on these ideologies that, you know, I'm better than you because I'm from this place and you're from some other place, or your skin color, or whatever it is. But it's become more than that in our society. So prejudice, on the other hand, is a preconceived opinion of another person based on, you know, your emotions. And these emotions are not, they don't comply with logic and reason. And so the reason why I mentioned the definition of prejudice is because we tend to confuse the two, and we tend to think that racism is just a type of prejudice, but it is, has not become that anymore. And racism is actually embedded in the structure of our society. It's this force that has penetrated the foundation of our society. And so you will find aspects of racism everywhere that, you know, you don't seem to notice it because it's become so integrated in our society that we can't seem to notice how it plays a major role in facilitating our daily actions. So I wanted to mention a definition by Showing for Racial Justice. They have a website. I listed it in the sources if you'd like to check it out. So they define racism as the pervasive, deep-rooted, and long-standing exploitation, control, and violence directed at people of color, Native Americans, and immigrants of color that produce the benefits and entitlements that accrue to white people, particularly to white male-dominated ruling class. So racism probably starts out as people who are racist, they believe that race is equivalent to particular traits. You know, if you're from this race and you have these traits, and they also believe that some races are superior to other races. People who are from a particular race are better and more powerful than people from another race. And this eventually leads to the unequal distribution of power and recognition, wealth, all that sort of thing in our society. And so, you know, your abilities, your status, your social status is on the basis of race, and that is unjust and unfair. And so this is what racism is now. You know, as we explained, it's become so integrated and so it's become this invisible force in some ways. It's hard for many of us to even notice it because over the years it has become normalized. So racism operates on multiple levels. The first being interpersonal racism, which is when someone harasses, discriminates, marginalizes, hates, you know, essentially any kind of discrimination, hatred, and violence against another group that's done on the basis of stereotyping or misinformation. So an example would be if you threaten someone because of their race, if you hate someone because of where they're from, if you bully them because of their race. So those are examples of interpersonal racism. Institutional racism is racism that functions through the policies, procedures, and practices of the institutions of society. So an example of that would be the racism that's found in the practice of medicine, right? And racial profiling. Those are examples of institutional race. And structural racism is the cumulative impact of interpersonal and institutional racism within our society. So this impact of interpersonal and institutional racism creates a system of structural racism, and it's also called systemic racism. So, and another way to think about racism as more than interpersonal racism is that these acts of personal racism occurs within institutions, and the policies and practices of these institutions in turn characterize social status on the basis of race. So now that we have defined what racism is, we're going to talk about what anti-racism is and what it truly means to be anti-racist. So anti-racism is defined as the conscious decision to identify and challenge racism on a daily basis. An important thing to know about anti-racism is that you can't call yourself anti-racist unless you are always going to condemn racism and actively fight against it. And you're not going to do anything and you're never going to not do anything about it. You're always going to speak out against it. You know, you're never going to say, oh, it's okay, it's not a big deal, it's just a small little hate crime or whatever. You're not, that's
that if you submit to something like that, that means that you're not anti-racist. Because if you're claiming to be anti-racist, you have to be prepared to fight against it every time you come across it. And as Muslims, being anti-racist is actually obligatory upon us all, because each of us has a duty to actively condemn racism, because delivering justice is obligatory upon us all. So because justice is a mandate in Islam, we have to make sure we deliver justice, and every single racist act that someone commits is an act of injustice. And so if we are going to be delivering justice, we have to fight against it, which means we have to be anti-racist. And also, it's important to know that you can't be neutral. You either condemn racism, or you actively fight against it, or you just don't care about it and you are racist. But you can't say that you're in the middle. Not doing anything about it is just giving into it, and it's almost as equal as being racist. It's almost equivalent to being racist. So now that we have cleared up some common misconceptions about racism and anti-racism, we're going to go into Islam's position on racism. And I want to remind you all that we cannot work collectively to condemn racism if we fail to be completely anti-racist ourselves. The fight to eliminate racism starts from each of us as individuals. This is really important to remember. We need to fix ourselves first before we try to put an end to it. So what are the origins of racism, and why is knowing this important? So the first act ever committed on the basis of racism was when Iblis refused to prostrate to Prophet Adam. And so we're talking about like the beginning of time. So why did Iblis refuse to prostrate to Prophet Adam? He refused because he believed that he was better than Prophet Adam, because he was created from fire, while Prophet Adam was created from clay. And this sort of mentality is basically what racism is now. I mean, we're talking about a time where there were no races or anything, but Allah created Prophet Adam out of clay and he created Iblis from fire. And because he thought that fire is more powerful, he thought that he's better than Prophet Adam, and he refused to prostrate to him. And so this is basically the foundation of racism. This is what racism is in actuality, if you really think about it. So this is the foundation of racism, and this also implies that if you are racist, you're essentially carrying out the work of Iblis. If you believe that you are better than someone because of your race, your background, skin color, whatever it is, you are racist. And not only are you racist, but you're also following the footsteps of Iblis. And what's really striking is that the fact that racism has been present since the beginning of existence, it sickens me, because even after all these years, no one has been able to completely eradicate it and completely put an end to it. And throughout the history of mankind, racism has always made sense to people. And I think it's present. People don't fight against it because I guess it's been normalized for all of the history of mankind. And that's really sickening fact to me. So how does Islam promote anti-racism and condemn racism? Islam promotes anti-racism. You can find this in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "O mankind, indeed we have created you from male and female and made you peoples and tribes that you may know one another. Indeed, the most noble of you in the sight of Allah is the most righteous of you. Indeed, Allah is knowing and acquainted. So in this ayah, this is ayah 13 of Surah Al-Hujurat, and in this ayah, Allah is not just talking to Muslims. And this is really important to point out, because Allah isn't just addressing Muslims, he's addressing all of mankind, which means that this isn't, you know, it's not just a principle of Islam, it's something that every single person should follow, whether they are Muslim or not, because this is what it means to be ethical, and this is just the basic morality. So it doesn't matter what religion you practice to be anti-racist and understand the beauty and diversity of mankind. And Allah is telling us in this ayah that he created different people from different tribes and nations so that we may recognize one another. And so if you really think about it, the diversity of mankind is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because if we were all from the same race, if we all look the same, I mean, how would we recognize one another? How would the world be as colorful and as diverse and as unique as it is now? If we all were from the same race, I mean, if we all had the same background, had the same skin color, the world wouldn't be as unique as it is. So it's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And underestimating that is being ungrateful to the one who created you, to the one who created us, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And so the fact that all of us come from different races and tribes is so beautiful, and exploiting this wrongfully to degrade another's worth, to make someone feel inferior to you, when you picture it like this, it's almost unthinkable. And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us that to him, the most noble are those that are the most righteous. So this means that your race, background, skin color, all that plays no role in measuring your worth, measuring that which makes you superior to someone else. It's important to know. So if I'm from Libya and you're from America or wherever other place, it doesn't mean that I'm better than you or you're better than me because of where we're from. I may be better than you, or you may be better than me because of your piety, because of your nobility, because of your integrity, because of your good deeds and your actions. That's what distinguishes you from me, from anyone else. Also, in the last sermon of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, there's a narration which reports that he said, "All mankind is from Adam and Eve. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, nor a non-Arab has any superiority over an Arab. Also, a white has no superiority over black, nor a black has any superiority over white, except by piety and good action." So, in the end of the day, your piety will determine your ultimate strength. And the emotions of arrogance and pride are the ones that fuel this hatred and discrimination, right? And as it has persisted in society to this day, it's grown more than just the mere effects of these emotions and acting on them. So instead, now, the institutions of society are encoded with some sort of racism, and again, it's so embedded that we don't even realize it. But now it's time for us to wake up from our slumber, wake up from our inactivity, and unblind our minds, purify our hearts, and continue to fight for justice and equality and the end of racism.
So, probably one of the most beautiful stories in Islamic history that shows the importance of fighting for racial equality in Islam is the story of Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. He was the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But before this, he was a slave, and he was treated very harshly.
So let's learn about this story. So Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu became a slave in Arabia, but he was actually from a high class in Abyssinia. So he's from Abyssinia, and he was taken as a slave to Arabia, right? But he was actually from a really high class, as his mother was the princess of Abyssinia. But they were both taken. They were taken as slaves. And so Bilal was born in Mecca, so he never really grew up in a royal household because he never sought, he was born in Mecca, so, and he was born into slavery. But Bilal fell in, he was a slave to the royals of Mecca because he was famous for his intellect, his strength, his capabilities. His strength, his capabilities, his intellect, and he was described as a very handsome man, actually. So, he was a slave to people of the highest rank in Mecca, and so he was a slave to a man named Umayya ibn Khalaf, and Umayya ibn Khalaf was an enemy, an opponent of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one day, Bilal heard Umayya talking about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what he understood from what he was saying is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preaching tawheed, is preaching the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And although Umayya ibn Khalaf was slandering the Prophet and was saying bad things about him, Bilal trusted his belief, and he trusted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so he accepted his message, and he believed in the oneness of God, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was tortured. Bilal was tortured immensely. And every time he was tortured, no matter what, he did not rescind from his belief, his faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as he was being tortured, he continued to repeat the words, one God, or in Arabic, it's Ahad, because he had strong belief, he had a strong iman. And because of his belief, he was tortured severely. It is said that he was deprived of food, he was starved. And so they forced him to worship idols. But nevertheless, Bilal continued to say the words, one God, you know, even when he was to the point where he was on the brink of death. But again, nevertheless, he continued to say, one God. And so what happened is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam found out about how this man was being tortured, and he sent Abu Bakr to investigate it. And so when Abu Bakr went to Umayya, he asked Umayya how much did he want for Bilal. And Umayya said 10 dinars. And so he purchased Bilal for 10 dinars. But then Umayya said that if Abu Bakr was willing to negotiate, and if he had negotiated, he would have sold him for 1 dinar. But then Abu Bakr said that if he was even for 100 dinars, he would have bought him for 100 dinars. And so everything, so this shows that just how much Abu Bakr valued Bilal ibn Rabah. And he definitely understood that Bilal didn't deserve. So to conclude this episode, I want to remind you guys
something really important, and I mentioned it earlier, but again, none of us can put an end to racism that operates in society if we don't begin fighting the racist ideologies that exist within ourselves. We need to fix ourselves. We need to open our mind and see just how immoral racism is. And as Muslims, we have an active role to fight against racism and embody the true definition of anti-racism. I wanted to share a short story before we end that strikes me the most because it's an example of an indirect effect of racism in our own society. And so when I was younger, I wasn't bullied for being my parents, because they were born in a different country or whatever it is, I wasn't bullied for my race, but I felt unwelcome. And there were, you know, there were groups in our class, and I used to go to a Muslim school, so the groupings and the way I was isolated from the other kids, I didn't feel welcome. I wasn't invited to join their group, join their club, join whatever it was. And the class was literally divided into people who were majorly from, I don't know, some Arab country, or people who were Desi or whatever it was. But the class was divided, and it made me hate who I was, hate where my parents were from, hate everything about me. And now I think about it and I reflect back and I see just how crazy it is that I may be the victim of this, but kids around the world, not just kids, but everyone around the world is suffering because of this. And but just how oblique and indirect this type of racism was just again goes to show just how integrated racism is in our society and just how normalized it is. I mean, a young child feeling like she doesn't belong, feeling like she doesn't matter, feeling like her race is a barrier to her success, to her achieving the life that she wants. That's very, I don't know how to describe it. So always just remember that, again, this fight starts from each of us acting on our own. Each of us eradicating every element of racism that exists within us. And I'm going to tell you that it's not going to be as easy as we think, because racism has been normalized so much that we don't even realize it. Again, if we really want to fight racism, if we really want to extinguish every single cause and effect of it, we need to try really hard and we need to put our utmost dedication and effort. And the next episode that's going to come out is going to be about how we can dismantle racism in our own Muslim community, because as Muslims, again, as we stated earlier, being anti-racist is essentially obligatory upon us, because delivering justice to those who have been wrongfully victims of racism is a duty, is obligatory upon us. So in our next episode, inshallah, we're going to be talking about how we can dismantle racism in our own Muslim community. And so I hope you guys stay tuned, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.